faith of our fathers. Tonight we consider Jacob's faith, Hebrews 11:21. And there are two thoughts that the Lord brings before us from this text. Firstly, obedient to God rather than men. Secondly, undying or unwavering faith of a dying man. Jacob was in the last moments of his life, and how he exercised faith all the way to the end of life. So our text says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Jacob lived a full life with God at the helm. He tasted the goodness of God in his life. He was a man surrendered to do the will of God as he matures in faith to embrace the God of his father Isaac and grandfather Abraham. He was commended for his faith at the close of his life when he blessed both the sons of Joseph. He exercised faith by blessing Ephraim, the younger son, over Manasseh, the elder son, against Joseph's will, so that God's will was fulfilled. Joseph has been the son who cared for the family in his latter years as prime minister of Egypt, to overturn and in a sense oppose the will of Joseph is not really the best thing to do, practically speaking. But Jacob, even up to the last moments of his life, sought to honor God. He submitted wholly to God. And this account in Genesis 48, and verses 14 to 20, describes for us those last moments of his life. And Israel stretched out his hand and laid upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly. For Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long until this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. Underline there, put in highlight, in bold. And he held his father's hand and removed it from Ephraim's hand into Manasseh's hand. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn, put thy hand upon his head. And his father refused. And what did Jacob say? Jacob said, I know it, my son, I know it. What did Jacob know? He knew the will of God, and he was willing to submit himself to the will of God. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Indeed, it is a fitting epitaph to his life that he lived a life of victorious faith, even to the end, as the Apostle Paul emphatically wrote in Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. After living 17 years in Egypt, Jacob died, and the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. His son Joseph carried his remains to the land of Canaan, and according to Jacob's instructions, gave him a stately burial in the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, and Leah, Jacob's first wife, was buried. Two thoughts. Obedient to God rather than man, undying or unwavering faith of a dying man. Obedient to God rather than man. Indeed, Jacob has come a long way in his spiritual stature, growing in spiritual maturity, as the apostle put it, for the Christian life in Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man. The word perfect means complete, mature. Not that he's sinless, but that he's learning to obey God, follow the will of God, which he knew that is best for him, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And the mark of true faith is the uncompromising tenacity to obey the will of God. You recall when Jacob discovered that Joseph was still alive and is being appointed the prime minister in Egypt, he sought the will of God to affirm that it was indeed the will of God that his family migrate to Egypt in view of the great famine that was in Canaan. Remember, there was a great famine, 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, and they were 2 years into the famine, and they knew life is going to be unbearable. But you see, this man did seek the will of God before he acted. Genesis 45:25-28 gave to us that background of his life, leading to where he was at the end of life. And they went out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not all these years. He believed the lie that Joseph had died. Animal killed him. He saw the coat that he made for Joseph, the coat with many colors, stained with fresh blood over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart failed, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. And Israel took his journey, and with all that he had, and came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. Beersheba, a very important place for Jacob, because it was there that he consecrated himself when he first was a youth to God. And God spoke unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which were gotten in the land of Egypt, and came in Canaan, and came into Egypt. Jacob and all his seed, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. He stopped in Beersheba to offer sacrifices to God and sought God's approval. It was in the will of God that Joseph's invitation be accepted. He acceded to God's will, not Joseph's will, to go down to Egypt. He showed Jacob that Egypt will be an God showed Jacob that Egypt will be an incubating place to bring forth the rapid growth of the family, so that God will finally make them a great nation, as a witness for the living and true God, to the honor and glory of God. So Jacob understood that it is better to trust in the Lord than to lean on his own understanding, and acted by faith to go to Egypt with his family, notwithstanding the famine. The Bible says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's the purpose we come, right, to our prayer meeting every week, because we want to be reminded, or we come to seek to know the mind of God, the will of God, and to walk in his blessings. And this we do consistently, regularly, because we know that it's easy to walk out of the will of God. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17 verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Jacob did not trust the words of Joseph, who wielded all the resources of Egypt, and to bless the younger son Ephraim rather than the elder son Manasseh, though it displeased Joseph. I remember by that time Joseph was a big man, right? Great man. All the princes in Egypt follow the instruction of Joseph. But here, you see Jacob doing the will of God. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. Genesis 48. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee, and Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. Remember, these are his last moments, the last hour, last day, last words. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Jacob recounted his blessed encounter with God when he left his father's house. See, these are significant moments where he learned the lessons of faith. Significant milestones, significant markers in his life. And he will not forget, because these are moments that imprinted deeply in his soul. And Genesis 28 give to us this account. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him while he was still young, and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go unto Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's mother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham, and to thee and to thy seed with thee, and thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." Did Jacob see the multitude that would come? No. It was only after Jacob's death, after the time when they were in Goshen, 400 years, that God multiplied them. So when they went into Egypt, there were only 70 of them. So he had to trust God. He had to lean upon the promises of God in his actions. And this was what he did. He leaned upon God's instruction. And Isaac went away, sent away Jacob. He went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. And verse 10 of Genesis 28 says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. Because the sun was set, he took the stones of that place and put them up for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of.'" Now, he was a fugitive running away at that time from his family. And Jacob awoke out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other than but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set up a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will make me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." And this is where Jacob understood that all his blessings come from God. God will not bless, he will not have his being. And so that's when he learned that indeed the will of God, the blessing of God, is marvelous. And that is when he had nothing. He had nothing. He was all alone going into the place of Laban. And the promise was futuristic. He was not even married. God speaks concerning his posterity that he will be great. It was indeed mind-boggling for Jacob to comprehend this promise that God would give him except by faith. It is the same for the Christian. God tells you that you have been chosen to reflect his glory even before the foundation of the world was laid. And the salvation that God gave to you, together with the spiritual inheritance that he promised, we cannot fully comprehend the fullness of this promise. Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 4, he gave to us that promise that Paul articulated for us. "Blessed be the Lord God of our and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance, until the redemption of our purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. How we are chosen by the Father, a privileged people, called out from sin unto holiness, purchased by the Son, a purchased people in intimate fellowship with God, and sealed by the Holy Spirit, a protected people destined for heaven. Truly, Jacob lived a life of faith, and he departed in faith. And God wants us too to live that life of faith. Right? Begin well, continue well, end well. Undying or unwavering faith of a dying man. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped. Genesis 48 verse 5. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon. They shall be mine, and thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. So Joseph was given two portions of the inheritance from Jacob, one for each of his sons. Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph with inheritance in the promised land. The sons of Joseph were born before Jacob came to Egypt. Therefore, they were about over 17 years old. And you think about it, who are these two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh? David Siller, he made a very good observation. He says, these two young men had been brought up in a wealthy home with servants and the Egyptian equivalent of several cars, the best of everything, clothes, books, and the latest gadgets. Their appearance most probably would have been Egyptian style, and they may well have been wearing the best Egyptian clothes. They could also have been educated in Egyptian schools and were probably ready for entrance to higher education. But they had cousins who were frankly the equivalent of local tinkers who looked after cattle, sheep, and goats. In Egypt, only slaves did work like that. The two boys, boys' uncles, were also cow herds with tangled beards, dressed in the oddest long clothes. Instead of riding the slick horses, they rode ridiculous donkeys, their feet trailing on the ground as these bizarre-looking animals awkwardly walked along. Contrast between their father's home, wealth, and the way of life could not have been more stark and vivid, compared to the homes of their uncles and grandfather. Ephraim's and Manasseh's way of life were aristocratic, for they lived with all the privileges of princes. The rest of their family, no doubt, still clinging to their former way of life in Canaan, live in tents. And now here is this old man in his peasant's clothes with his long hair and even longer beard, claiming these two young men in their smart Egyptian clothes from their sophisticated background as his own sons, part of this shabby family. Can you image the scene? He says, these two teenage lads have to choose between Egypt and Israel, between the rich and cultured on the one hand, and the crude and despised on the other hand. I think for them, it may have been a hard choice, but they chose to belong to their grandfather's family and to turn their backs on the pride and pomp of Egypt. They took their place among the people of God. He further applied, he said, for those who follow Christ, there is no other way. You and I have to choose. On the one hand, there is the world and its friendship with all that that implies. The world offers so much: parties, clothes, music, and friends of all sorts, together with thrills and spills, so much more. It seems sparkling and dazzlingly attractive that there is much that the very scent of it makes one's head go slightly fuzzy with an apparently lovely feeling. Alongside all that excitement and fun, stand in the shadows is one who appears to be so out of date and old-fashioned that he is uninviting. His name is Jesus, and he endured the shame of death as an outcast, despised and rejected. Today, the choice is still between the disgrace of following a lowly carpenter and this point. We cannot have both. We must choose. For if we try to have both, we will be sucked down into the quicksands of alienation from our Lord and Maker. We will be drawn into the company of those who spat on Christ and delivered him to death. So, all of us today must choose. As these two lads had to choose. So, what was Jacob doing when he was praying for the two grandchildren? Well, he was imparting to them his faith. As he held their hand, as he spoke to them, he was sharing with them his spiritual heritage, a rich spiritual heritage that he has inherited, that he would like to pass on to them. Would they despise it, or would they receive it? So Jacob imparted his faith to his grandchildren through the blessings that God would have him bestowed upon them. Whether it's a little bit more, a little bit less, well, the blessings is great for both of them. Genesis 48 verse 7 says, as for me, when I came from Paddan Aram, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan, in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come into Ephraim. And I buried her there in the way of Ephraim. The same is Bethlehem. You see, when you're in your dying moments, what do you remember? What do we remember? He remembered his call. He remembered his wife, his late wife, because they have spent so many years together. Right? He has worked 21 years for Rachel, 14 years, and then another 7 years. Genesis 48, verse 8. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. And now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them. and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God had showed me also thy seed. Now this man's mind is quite clear, right? He knows what's going on, right? Indeed, Jacob had talked for a long time. His beloved son was dead, and he will not see him again. But it was not to be. And he rejoiced and was glad that God had been gracious to him, not only to be reunited to Joseph, but to see the company of Joseph's children. Here we see God's blessing upon the family. The choice that was made, God made those choices. And, you know, we are thankful to God for what He has done to give to us a spiritual heritage. And we are thankful to God for all that we have received. And God gives to us a work to do, a service to His people. And will we be up to the challenge that He gave to us? Indeed, may God help us to be. May we learn the lesson of clinging to God in faith till our very last breath. For then we find our reward and blessing in the very presence of our God and Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy mercy. Thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for this lesson of faith in the life of the man Jacob. How, Lord, he was faithful to the end. Father, we thank Thee for this lesson in the life of this man, of his maturing faith, the faith that went on from strength to strength, faith to faith, and how he began in faith, continued in faith, and triumphantly spent his last moments of his earthly life in faith and to be ushered into glory. O Lord, thank Thee that we too have learned that we are to exercise faith too, and that a reward and a spiritual inheritance is awaiting all Thy children. O Lord, we thank Thee and we praise Thee. And may Thou help us to serve Thee with the strength that we have for Thy own honor and glory. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name.